Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to study the biblical book of Daniel, the prophet. Lesson 2. From Jerusalem to Babylon. God's sovereignty. When we have a look at the first chapter in the book of Daniel, in the first verses, we read, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And now, pay attention. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God. Up to this time, the people in Judah, especially the leading ones, they thought, here is the Lord's temple. So the Lord our God, he will take care of us because his building, his temple is here in Jerusalem. So we have the strongest power in the universe taking care of our temple. So what can happen? And now we read that the Lord gave the king of Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. The Lord did it. He handed the king of Judah over into the hand of the king of Babylon. This is a surprise, isn't it? They thought they are safe because they have God. But they have overlooked something very, very important. They had not been in close relationship with their God anymore, the leaders of Judah. They had gone astray. They had done the will of their own. They had decided to do this or that against the will of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah, he had told them, if you do this, the king of Babylon will come. But they did not believe it. And now they saw it. They experienced it. Now it was life. And they were shocked. Jerusalem taken over, had been taken over by the Babylonians. The king taken away. And many, many fine young people had been transported to Babylon. Especially Daniel and his three friends. And Daniel was at this time 18 years old. So normally an age where you start your life, and now you start as a slave in a foreign land. They were transported far away. So you can see here on the map from here to there. From Jerusalem to Babylon. And we can see it on this drawing here of the artist Maximilian Janče. Here we see Daniel and his friends. They have to go this long, long, long distance. They have to walk on their feet. And it took weeks to come there, to get there. So it is so surprising for the people of Judah that God did not help them. What they could not see at the moment, that even this catastrophe was within God's plan. From other kings who had not listened to God, we hear that God said, "That's because you did not listen, because you did not obey. Therefore, the Lord your God is not with you anymore." But even in this chaos, he was with them. God had a plan. The best persons of Judah, he wanted to bring in contact with the leaders of Babylon. God had a plan, a special plan, as we will see. Faith under pressure. Now Daniel and his friends, with many other people of Judah, had to move to Babylon. They had to leave their home country by force. They were forced to leave. And it was a long row, as we can see. It's hard when you have to experience something like that. And you ask yourself, why? But the king of Babylon had a special plan with them. Those who were young and sons of the nobility in Judah, they were taken out of Judah to Babylon for a special reason. The king wanted to train them in the Chaldean language, in the Chaldean science, that they learn how to read and write in Chaldean, and that they, these young slaves, after they had done their studies, will be people who are in the service of the king of Babylon. Because the king knew, once I have taken them there, and they have a fine job and fine salary, they will be quiet and satisfied. If they stay in Jerusalem, they will try to start a revolt, to throw the Babylonians out of the country. But now they are already thrown out. They are in a foreign country. And they are there now. It's now their homeland with good professional positions. So he wants to make them satisfied. The king is clever. And because of this assimilation, this integration, he wants these young people to change their religious behavior and attitude. They get new names. Before that, Daniel and his friends, they had names connected with their god, Daniel. El means God. Yah, short form for Yahweh, God. So these names are changed to Babylonian names who are in connection, these names are in connection with Babylonian gods. And the aim is day by day, week by week, month by month, that these young men will gradually change their mind. And that in the end, they do not really find out by themselves that they have already changed and have become Babylonians in thinking, not only in writing and reading, in thinking, and that they take care of the Babylonian gods and worship them. This was the plan. A clever plan. Will it work? Now, when these young people got the opportunity to study at the university at Babylon, as we would say today, to get the best education you could get there, it was because the king wanted them to be his servants, and he needed quality of servants. Therefore, he trained them. So in the end, it was for the king. And it was a possibility for slaves to climb higher in the ladder of career. So both sides, winners, in a way. And if you get as a slave such an opportunity, you develop something like thankfulness and, oh, this king Nebuchadnezzar, he's interested in our training, in our education. He wants us to climb higher. Good king. So this should be the thinking of these young slaves, of the nobility of Judah. There was a plan. And would this plan work? We will see. Firm resolution. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted these young slaves of the nobility of Judah to be trained in Babylonian writing, reading, thinking, and Babylonian religion. And they even got the best food, the best beverage that could be provided. It was taken from the king. So what the king ate and drank, they got as well. So the best of the best. But what was the best of the best in the eyes of God? Meat taken from a swine? Unclean. Meat offered to Babylonian gods? Unclean. Wine? Alcohol? Which will have an effect on your brain? No. So Daniel and his friends, they soon discovered, we cannot eat that. We cannot drink that. This is something, it's against God. But what to do? We are slaves. And we are privileged. We get the best education which can be offered in Babylon. We belong to the elect who will go to the top of the servants in Babylon. Well, this is a special situation, so we have just to take what we can get. Oh no. What is our headline? Firm resolution. Now when we go on reading here, in the book of Daniel, we see that these young men have been trained in Jerusalem in prophet schools. And these young men, they have principles in their life. And we read in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So he goes to his boss, and he has a special request. I do not want to defile myself. I'm not used to this food. I'm not used to wine. I prefer water. I prefer vegetables, fruits. I would like to have a different diet. Now his boss, he liked Daniel. He was such a polite young man, very loyal, fine attitude. But in this way he seemed to be very resolute, firm resolution. And this boss said to him, well, I have another boss. And that's my king. And he ordered me to give you this food, this wine, and so on. So I'm obliged to him to follow his orders. Otherwise, I will be dismissed or even killed. The king doesn't like it when he's not obeyed. So what should I do? I have to act according to the king's will. He's my boss. Now Daniel tells him the following, give us a chance. Different alternative diet for 10 days. If you find out after 10 days it's not good for us, and we look different, look ill, and something like that, then let's go back. But give us a chance for 10 days. Now this leader, the boss of Daniel, okay, he said, 10 days, that will do it. Yeah, and after 10 days, Daniel and his friends, they were stronger, had red cheeks, they looked fine, healthy, and yeah, from then on, new diet, it's okay. Young people who do not just do what their leaders want them to do, but they want to act according to the will of God. Wow! They had firm principles, firm resolution in their mind. Unblemished and wise. We read in Daniel 1, verse 3, and the king Nebuchadnezzar spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, so sons of the nobility, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored talents, over talents, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Wise, cunning, no blemish, well favored, skillful in all wisdom. So when you read this, the king wanted the best of the best of the best. The most talented, the most gifted. And here we see the king's plan, and we see God's plan. God knows more than a king here on earth, as we know. And God used this plan of King Nebuchadnezzar to bring the best of the best of the best of Judah to Babylon. To bring them in contact with the leaders of Babylon. So that the leaders of Babylon saw the ability of these young people of Judah. And that the leaders in Babylon would be surprised about their knowledge, the wisdom, their talents, and that they would be surprised about their religion. Because soon they discovered there in Babylon, the leaders, that these young slaves did not change their religion. They stayed to it. They stayed what they have learned in their youth in Jerusalem, in the schools of the prophets. The prophets got the best information you could get because they got it from the Most High. So it was wisdom above wisdom, knowledge above knowledge, science above science. It was the best education you could get. And so these leaders there in Babylon were surprised to see what these young people had in their mind. It was surprising. It was something you could not find in Babylon. And it was God's plan to transport the religion of Judah to Babylon, that the leaders there found out about the true religion. And that all these gods of Babylon were good for nothing. That you could get rid of them. This was God's plan. And without these 70 years of Babylonian captivity, this would not happen. So it was a kind of mission plan of God. He transports his best people over to Babylon, that they transport the best religion on earth to Babylon. And that the leaders there see the difference and see the advantage of worshipping Israel's God, Judah's God. So, on the first glance, it seems that this Babylonian captivity was a failure for God's side. Oh no, it was God's plan to transport Israel over to a new territory. This is God, our loving Father. Final exam. After 3 years had gone by, the king himself wanted these young people of Judah to be tested, and he had a close look at them. He himself, the king, made the exam. The teachers, the professors, they were now in danger. Had they done their job in the right way or not? For the king, he himself wanted to know, are they trained as I would have liked them to be trained? Are they now better educated than before? And there are a lot of youngsters. But in the end, Daniel and his three friends, they are the best. They are the very best. And we find this report in the Bible, which is really surprising for me as a teacher, that we can read here in verse 19 in chapter 1. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, so they become servants of the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, listen carefully, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. So, the university professors, teachers, the masters of science, the doctors of science in the Babylonian realm, they had no chance in comparison to Daniel and his friends. 10 times better. Now, how can that be? Can you explain that to me? I'm a teacher. How can my people, my pupils, my students know 10 times more than me, the teacher? How can it be? How can that happen? It's impossible, isn't it? So, they must have learned something before they had come to Babylon. Daniel was 18 when he came there, when he got there, and he had attended the school of the prophets in Jerusalem with his friends, and they had been trained and educated by prophets. And these prophets had told them the will of God and the wisdom of God. And therefore they were 10 times better than the best in Babylon. 10 times better. And the king himself, who was a superstar, very intelligent, very clever, he discovered it. They are 10 times better. So this was something the king would never, ever forget again. He knew these youngsters from Judah. Wow! They are special. So he wanted them to be his servants. Every king wants to have the best around him and not idiots. So the king was very amused. He liked that very much. And he liked it that his plan got well. It worked. Okay, these young men, they will be super servants. Oh, so fine that I have ordered to take them from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now I have them here in my kingdom. They will work for me. They will help to strengthen the Babylonian kingdom. Oh, we are lucky. We have these youngsters of Judah. The king was happy. And God too. Summary. There are several reports in the Bible that a young person of the people of God climbs the ladder of career to a very, very, very high position. It happened with Daniel and his friends. And it happened in former days in Egypt in the same way with Joseph, the son of Jacob, one of the 12 sons, who had been sold by his brothers as a slave to Egypt. He was a slave, like Daniel. And as a slave, he got to the highest position, just the next to the king, to the Pharaoh. And this out of prison. It's unbelievable. It's fantastic. So when Joseph appeared in front of the king of the Egypt, in front of the Pharaoh and his elders, so the best of the land around him, they found out, this is the best man for the future we can get. Just listening to him for a few minutes, they saw this nobility, this wisdom in a young man. And they were sure he's the best. So being close together with God, and I tell this to you, young people who are listening now, being close together with God will elevate you. It will lift you up. It's something, if you work together with God, he is the source of all wisdom, the source of all science. He is the Most High. If someone can train you in the best way, can educate in the best way, it's the Most High, the Almighty. He has invented us. He knows how our brain works. He knows how it can be developed, developed, developed. He knows how, better than anyone else. If we look back, and I talk as a teacher, what was the newest knowledge 50 years ago? When you hear about it, it produces a smile on our lips, doesn't it? 50 years ago, they thought in medicine, in technique. They thought this is the highest standard. 50 years later, we smile at the inventions of the past. What will be in 50 years. If we are still here on earth, people will smile on the inventions, which are now the top inventions. And people say, oh, wow! It's nothing in future. Nothing. Forget it. There's much more to know. Now imagine, the Most High, who knows more than we can imagine. He can help you that your brain is developed in the best way. So, be together with Him, with the Most High, daily, day by day. Read in His Word. Study the Proverbs. The King of Solomon. Study Jesus' words. Study the Holy Book, and you will be trained in the wisest way which is possible.